Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. One day, we are all going to die. God formed humanity from the dust of the earth, it says in Genesis chapter 2, and he gave them this tree of life where they could eat from it and live forever by eating its fruit. But once sin entered the world, God didn't want us to live forever in our sin. So, from that point on, humanity was promised that they would taste death, that they're going to become dust once again. And last, or a week and a half ago, on Ash Wednesday, if you're here, you had the sign of the cross made on your forehead with black ashes, and I said, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we have hope that after our death, we're going to be able to have a new life. Just like Jesus died on the cross, was crucified, was raised from the dead, that's what we can hope for as well. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not something you did on your own, it's a gift of God, so that no one can boast. But we're still going to die one day. Before we're raised, we're going to die. How do we live with that knowledge? How can we continue living knowing that dying is a part of the deal? To answer that, I think it might help to get to what are we really afraid of exactly about death? Is it hell? Maybe. But even atheists fear death. And if they don't believe in heaven, they probably don't believe in hell either. What is it about death that scares us so much? It's our helplessness, our powerlessness over it. The fact that all of our thoughts, our ideas, our loves, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our desires, our passions, they'll simply come to an end. And then the question is, will we have made a difference on this earth? Will anyone remember us? Have we done enough? The sacrament of baptism is God's answer to death, so that we can stand firm in the face of it. But how we understand what's happening in baptism matters a great deal. I've found that many people's understanding of baptism leads them to the same fear of death that everybody else has. However, today I hope to show you that the promise of baptism is the only thing that really can help us live our lives and end our lives without fear. I want you to look at the pictures, if you want to, just to remember what they are, pictures that I sent out. One shows, the bottom one is a young monkey being carried by its mother. It's on the bottom. You don't see it there. And the top one is a kitten being held by the mama cat. Which do you think best describes our life as a Christian? I'm certainly not the first one to come up with this example and illustration, by the way. I heard it in seminary, but I thought it was good. They're actually good arguments for understanding it both ways, but I believe that one of these pictures better expresses, it's more biblically accurate, and can help us live our life with God without the fear of death. One of those, I think, is a better explanation for our life with God. You'll have to decide which one by the end. What is baptism all about anyway? Many churches see baptism as a way for a sinner to commit their life to God, to publicly confess their faith and choose to follow Jesus from that point onward. And once that decision to become baptized has been made, the assurance of salvation is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. From this perspective, the key word in that passage is believe. Because without believing, no matter how much God loves the world, you can't be saved. From this understanding, baptism is primarily about our decision to choose to follow God, our choice for God. The Lutheran Church teaches something a little different. I'll take this directly from Martin Luther's small catechism about baptism. In baptism, God forgives sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives everlasting salvation to all who believe what he has promised. In other words, baptism is about a promise given to us from God. Not by us to God, but by God for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Believing still matters, of course. Like I tell people who are coming for pre-baptism, it's not a get out of hell free card. That's not what baptism is. However, how does that faith happen? How do you start believing? St. Paul says faith comes through hearing. And what is heard comes from the word of Christ. How then can they, how can they call on one that they have not believed in? St. Paul asks in the book of Romans. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Faith doesn't just show up in our hearts one day, out of the blue. God sends someone to tell us about Jesus. Sometimes a pastor, sometimes a grandma, sometimes a friend, sometimes in a movie, sometimes in a song, sometimes just a Bible that you find in the middle of your hotel room. And hearing the gospel sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And then the sixth chapter of John explains how this happens. Because it's not by our initiative, but by God's. No one can come to me, Jesus says, except unless the Father draws them to me, and I will raise them up on the last day. So then God sends a preacher, somebody, and God draws a person to himself. And Ephesians tells us what comes next. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Faith is not our doing. It's a gift. It's a gift. So then God blesses us with the promises of baptism and then gives us this faith as a gift? Yes. Salvation is all up to God. It's not up to us. Baptism isn't the culmination of our faith where we finally say, from this point on, God, I'm following you. It's the beginning of a relationship with God that he has already started a long time before that. He draws us to himself so that we can follow him. And this happens no matter what age you're baptized at, whether you're 6 weeks old or 60. Why is this good news? Because we're all going to die one day, like I said. Think about it. When you and I are buried, whether we're remains, ashes exactly, or as a body in a casket, we are going to be perfectly passive. Unable to do much of anything. Not much talking, not much moving around, and as it happens, not much believing. If we're placing our faith in our ability to believe, well, death should scare us a little bit. How are we supposed to know, or to let Jesus know that we believe in him? We can't talk anymore. What if we have fallen into temptation a long time before, after our baptism? What if it was just a moment before we died? What if we doubted too often? What if? However, if baptism is God's work to us, given to us in a promise, well, then it doesn't matter whether we're 60 or 6 weeks old. If we're sleeping like a baby when we hear the promises of God at baptism, that's okay, because he'll have to raise us from our sleep when we're dead in the grave. We fear death because it means we will have lost the ability to act and think and believe and dream and do anything. But God assures us of something amazing. When you trust me, he says, it's not about what you can do anymore. It's about what I can do for you. The story of God's covenant with Abram, I think, is a great example of this. It's one of my favorite stories. God tells everything that he's going to do for Abram. And then we come to this part where they're going to make an agreement, a covenant, a promise. So they have, God says, cut up these animals and put them on each side. And the idea is, the ritual was, you walk through them. Each person making the covenant walks through these animals. And the idea is that if I break my promise, let what happened to these animals, being cut in half, let it happen to me. That's the ritual. Except Abram falls asleep. Apparently God puts him to sleep. And God alone passes through the torn pieces and makes the covenant with Abraham. God's honor is on the table. God is on the hook to keep his promises. Just like when God made the bow, the rainbow and the clouds, as a sign of the covenant between him and the earth. The bow is pointed upwards. God is on the hook. He's the one that's saying, if I don't keep my promises, I'm the one that should die. When Jesus forgave the world, even though the world put him on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's another great example. God is the one responsible. God promises that not even death can separate us from his love. So, which picture do you think portrays our relationship with God better? Many people argue it's the monkey. God's moving around and we got to hold on for dear life. You know, look at that poor little guy. He's like, what's going to happen if I let go? I like the picture of the kitten. That seems to me like it's a lot more biblically accurate. For those of us who don't have a very good grip on God a lot of the time, the cat is a much better illustration. God carries us through life, even when we don't have the strength to hold on. We're all going to die one day. This is certain. The good news is that when we trust God's work on the cross to save us, we can live our life free from fear, since we know he's carrying us through it. Worrying about loving others rather than our own strength of faith. And then when we die, we can be free from fear, since we have heard that God alone has the power to carry us, not just during this life, but into eternal life. Amen.